Exodus chapter 23. We'll begin reading in verse number 20. The Bible says, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him, and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them, and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee." Let's pray. Father, we bless you. We're thankful you're our God. You're faithful and true, and your mercies are renewed every day. And God, we're thankful that, Lord, we are certainly reaping far better than we've sown. We do not deserve and are not worthy to even be called by thy name, but God, we're thankful we can be because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, us who one time were off outside the grace of God have been drawn nigh because of the precious work of Christ in our lives. Now, Father, I pray you'd bless those working with the children on the other side. Bless those working with the teens as well. Now, Father, help us now to glean from the Word of God. We thank you for the good singing. Thank you, Lord, for thy people that have weathered the elements and weathered the sickness to be able to come out to the house of God tonight. Now, God, I pray you'd bless them and help them for it. I pray for those that are sick. I pray for those that are providentially hindered, that are watching. God, you'd be with them. You'd help them. You'd strengthen them. And God, you'd bring them back to us safely soon. Now, Father, I pray that, Lord, you'd continue to range the atmosphere. You'd come and bring down the mountains and come down and meet with us. And God, do a work in our hearts. And we'll not fail to bless you and praise you for all that you do. For it's in the wonderful and holy name of the Lord Jesus we ask it all. Amen and amen. Here we find that God is giving Moses some instructions before their conquest, before they go into Canaan land, and before God gives them the promised land that he had promised to them many years before, and Israel, because of fear, would not go in. Can I say, fear is the enemy of faith, and when you are motivated by fear, friend, you will not have the blessings of God in your life. But when you follow God by faith, there's nothing impossible before you, because God is able to bring down anything that you face. Too many times we get to looking around instead of looking up. Be a good day in your life when you learn to look up and put your faith and trust in God. Notice some things that God tells Moses here, and some things that we can glean from for our own lives. I want you to notice, first of all, the principles set before them. Look in verse number 20 again. It says, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, to bring thee into the place which I prepare. Beware of him, and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him." There is a principle set before them. We sing a hymn that says, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." We're not to question what God's doing. We're just to be obedient to what God's doing. When he puts something before us, just be obedient, follow God, put your faith in what God says, and God will handle the rest. Ignore God. Don't be disobedient to God. If so, he won't pardon your transgressions. So we find a principle set before them. Now, I want you to notice the picture displayed from them. Look again at verse number 20. He says, "Behold, I send an angel." Do you see that? If you look down at verse 23, it says, "For mine angel." Do you see that? In both instances, if you got the right Bible, angel is capitalized. Anytime in the Old Testament when you find the angel of the Lord, that is the Lord Jesus himself being manifested in the Old Testament. That's why it's capitalized. It's talking about Jesus himself. He goes on to say that he won't forgive your transgressions. Who can forgive sin except God himself? So he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But this angel to us, it's a picture for us in this dispensation. It's a picture of the Holy Ghost to guide us. The Holy Ghost, he indwells us, and he leads us and guides us into all truth. Why do you think the Scriptures say we're not to grieve him or quench him? We're to be obedient to the voice of God through the person of the Holy Spirit. Notice he not only mentions angel in verse number 20, I'll send an angel before thee. He says to keep thee in the way. The way here represents, or is a picture to us, the paths of righteousness to ready us. God grows us in the Scriptures, and he teaches us to walk in righteousness that we might be ready for what he has on down the road. If we're not living a righteous life, God cannot use us. It's very important. We were teaching in our Sunday school class this morning on the whole armor of God. The very first piece of armor is you are to gird up your loins with truth. Truth is our foundation. If we don't have truth, we don't have anything. That's why we herald the King James Bible. It's the absolute final authority of our lives. Without it, friends, we don't have a leg to stand on. So we find that truth was for our most sensitive, our most tender parts. But the very next thing it says is the breastplate of righteousness. What covers our heart is righteousness. And friend, truth does us no good if we don't have a righteous life. It's just like somebody sitting on a bar stool getting drunk, telling folks that Jesus will save them. He's telling them the truth. But his life is not a righteous life, so it will not give them any incentive to do what he's saying to do. And he's being a hypocrite. And can I say, there's a lot of people that tell folks truth, but their life doesn't back it up. Can I say that the way shows that there are paths of righteousness to ready us for what God has in store for us. And then it mentions a prepared place. Now, we know Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, and I'm looking forward to heaven. But the prepared place that is pictured in verse number 20, he's talking about the place which I have prepared. It is representing the will of God where he'll use us. See, we've got to learn to follow the Holy Spirit as he's guiding us. We've got to learn to live a righteous life as he readies us, and then the will of God will be manifested, in which God will use us to bring honor and glory to his name. We've seen a principle set before them, a picture displayed from them, but notice the promise guaranteed to them. Look at verse 22. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversary. Can I say this first of all? If God's an enemy to our enemies, what do we have anything to fear about? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God's an adversary to our adversaries, you don't have a thing to worry about. Nobody's even challenged God, let alone defeated him. But he goes on to verse 23, and he says, For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, Jebusites, and cut them off. What a blessing. Well, I got to thinking about this promise guarantee. He said, if you obey my voice, he said, I'll take care of all your enemies. But notice these nations of people, these tribes of people that they will fight against when they get into Canaan land. And God gives them the secret to success. Obedience to the voice of God will defeat their enemies. The Amorites is a picture or a type of bitterness and rebellion. When you're obedient to God, God will defeat any bitterness that wells up in your life, any rebellion in your camp. Can I say, any given week, the devil's trying to stir up somebody with bitterness to rebel and divide the house of God. But when God's people are obedient, God overcomes that. The Hittites represents one that's broken or one that's fearful. Can I say, what a overcome any brokenness or fear is the Lord when we're obedient. The Perizzites, they kind of represent those that are dwellers. They just dwell on you. They're takers. They'll suck the very life out of you. And I've seen that in churches. There are some who just absolutely take. And it absolutely upsets the congregation. Can I say, I've known of congregations where they'll get a young man who sells insurance. And he makes it a point to address everybody in the church, make an appointment, try to sell them insurance. And when he's exhausted that, he changes churches. He's not interested in worshiping Jesus Christ. He's interested in putting some coins in his pocket. And can I say there are others, if the church is ever good to them, helps them out, maybe gets them some groceries, do something for them, well, then it seems like they always have a need. You know, it's a blessing to be a part of a church. If somebody's struggling, we can help them. But can I say the church is not a perpetual food bank? And I've learned a long time ago that anybody can go through a rough patch. But if they put God first, God will help them. And they won't stay in a rough patch. If somebody stays in a rough patch, they got a real problem somewhere in their life. Well, the Lord says he'll handle all that if we're obedient. And can I say there's the Canaanites? The Canaanites represents one who will humble you or subdue you. Humble by meaning conquering you. Subdue you. I say the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. When we're obedient, you don't have to worry about somebody overtaking the congregation. I'll never forget that fellow we was out on visitation a couple years ago. He called up and said he was come to church and was going to take over. I said, no, you won't. He said, you going to stop me? I said, we'll stop you. He said, you better have the law there because I'm a-coming. I said, that's okay, I know. He said, you know all of them? I said, I know enough of them. I don't know if he showed up or not because that Sunday morning I had Christian and Jordan stand out in front of the door out there. I mean, that was enough to deter him right there, you know. But the bottom line is nobody's coming in and taking over when we're serving God. Just be obedient to God. He handles all that. He can handle blowhards and all that. Then there's the Hivites. The Hivites are the wicked or wickedness. And listen, not everybody comes to church to serve God. There are actually some that come with wicked motivation. But if you just keep your eyes on Jesus and you put Jesus first, he handles all that. And then the Jebusites, that's one who trods underfoot. But I'm glad. We don't have to worry about somebody trodding us underfoot when we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The last thing that he says to Moses, he gives them a precaution. There's a precaution given to them. Verse 24, he says, thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their gods, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Notice that God told them not to bow down to the false gods of that land. Matter of fact, take their idols and break them up, burn them, do away with them.